1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 1. And the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days. There was no open vision. And it came to pass at that time, when Eli was laid down in his place, that his eyes began to wax dim, that he could not see. And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord, where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep, the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not. Lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." The word that's been brought before us already this evening has very powerfully conveyed to us a sense of the difficulty of the day in which we live. Yet it's also brought before us the resources in God which lie at our disposal if we would be faithful to the Lord Jesus in a day of departure, a day of declension. And we have confessed already that we have to trace that departure and that declension in our own hearts. But we've been thinking also this afternoon of the little children. And I don't suppose there's a more wonderful example of a little child who responded to the word of the Lord as Samuel in this passage. When we think of the day in which he lived, as it's brought before us in these opening verses of the chapter, the word of the Lord was precious in those days. We've already thought of the fact that the presentation of the truth of God amongst us is much less in many ways than it used to be, though we've been reminded that it is still available to us in other forms than the spoken word. Perhaps Samuel's day was not a lot different from ours. There was no open vision. There was no sense of the mind of God for the moment for his people. There was no one who was prepared and ready and able to receive it. Remember that Eli, the priest in those days, his home, his house, meant that God could not use him in the way he would have desired to use the priest of Israel. We've read about how his eyes began to wax dim. He lacked discernment. He lacked the ability to see the way in which he should go and the people of God should go. And then the lamp of God was about to go out. the testimony, if you like, of God amongst his people had grown very dim, and this seems to be conveyed by this instant, this time, this real occasion in the experience of Samuel. The lamp was about to go out, but there was one in Samuel that God could use for the blessing of his people. There are young ones here this evening, and I think this is an encouragement to any young person who may feel, having heard what's been said this evening, although it was designed not to discourage, it was designed, we believe, by the Spirit of God to encourage, because that's the whole point behind what the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy, was that he might rekindle the gift that he had been given, that he might serve God in a day of difficulty. But here is, if you like, another example from God's word to encourage a young person who might fear, who might think, the day is too difficult for me to truly live for the Lord. Here was one whom God could take hold of and use for his glory. We've read that he didn't really know the Lord. And yet those of us here who are young, we know the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. We've learnt his word in our homes and in our gatherings. We have that much more than Samuel had. Although he had the wonderful privilege of God-fearing parents, godly parents, particularly his mother, Hannah. And we should always trace how wonderful it is, those of us who've enjoyed the being brought up by God-fearing parents. Timothy himself was one who could trace back his first experiences in regard to the Lord Jesus to his grandmother and to his mother, to Eunice and to Lois. But in many ways, he didn't have the privileges that you and I have. And yet, God would take him up for his glory and for the blessing of his people. And what is it we can learn particularly from Samuel? Because we can all learn something from this young man, not just those of us who are younger. First of all, he was in that place where God had placed his name at that time, Shiloh. And it's good for us to be amongst the Lord's people. We're told not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. I know that Samuel was there because his mother had placed him there. But haven't we been taught from an early age to find ourselves among the people of God? Those who love the word of God. Those who treasure it. Those who want to put it into practice, however weakly they may do it. Well, Samuel was with Eli in the temple. I don't know if he was conscious of all the terrible things that were going on there. Much worse than any of the things that we have experienced among the people of God. We've heard of failure, but when we think of the things that Eli's sons were doing, well, they were terrible things. But there he was where the Lord had placed his name. And it was there that the Lord could really speak to him his word. That should be an encouragement to us, particularly if we're younger. Keep coming to the meetings. Stay among the Lord's people. You've had the teaching of his word. You know the importance of gathering to the name of the Lord Jesus. Here was Samuel. He was in the place where God had put his name. But the very important thing in verse 4 should not be missed. The Lord called Samuel. The Lord called Samuel. We've been thinking of that verse in Romans chapter 12, where we're called to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto God. That point where we commit ourselves to the Lord. Not necessarily when we trust the Lord Jesus as our Saviour. It may come later. It may come then, but it often comes later. But here was a point where the Lord was going to have to do with Samuel. And he spoke to him personally. And he heard the Lord's words. And immediately we get that wonderful response, "Here am I." We have those words with Joseph, don't we? When his father speaks to him. When his father wants him to go and see how his brethren get on. "Here am I," he says. We have it with other servants of the Lord. There's a responsiveness to that voice. And it's good to have that responsiveness. It's something of the Lord Jesus coming out in us. The Lord Jesus who could say, "Here am I," who could do his Father's will. That's something that we need to develop in us, that readiness to respond to the voice of the Lord. I'm sure that when Timothy received that letter from the Apostle Paul, yes, he heard Paul speaking through his written words. He could, I'm sure, hear the voice of Paul in the very words that Paul had written down on that letter. But really, he heard the Lord speaking to him. Really, he heard the Lord Jesus speaking to him through the apostle. And I'm sure he responded positively to those words. "Here am I." Do we sense that we are those who are to be fully at the disposal of our Lord, the one who loved us and gave himself for us? Here was a man, a young man, a child even, who could say, "Here am I." We thought, when we were reading this afternoon, of the little children who have an unction from the Holy One, an anointing from the Holy One. They know all things. They have the ability to discern between what's right and wrong. They may not know all the details. That comes through teaching. But they can respond to the voice of the Lord. They know what isn't right, and they know what is right. And here we have a young man who says, "Here am I." Have we got a desire to respond to the Lord like that? "Here am I." And we know, don't we, the story so well, how that initially Samuel felt it must be Eli who was calling him. The man of God, the priest of God. It must be Eli who speaks to him. He's in the next room. He's in the next enclosure. He must be speaking to me. I must come and find out what he's doing. But of course it was the Lord who was speaking to him. But it was that desire to respond to the command that must come ultimately from the Lord. But what did Eli say to him when he responded in that way? What was Eli doing? Eli was lying down, and Eli told Samuel to lie down. And so often today, when we hear the word of the Lord, there's the counter word that will say, "Lie down. Just lie down." It was, no, you must have misheard. It wasn't me who called you. Just lie down. And we're in a day when we need that obedience and that devotion and that energy too of heart and life. One thing that we notice as we read through these verses is the way Samuel's running to and fro. He's marked by energy. And when we're younger, we have the physical energy that should go with the spiritual energy. But when we're older, well, we may not have the same physical energy, but we should still have the same spiritual energy. And here was a young man who was marked by energy. He was running to and fro the enclosures in this place where the tabernacle had been set up in Shiloh. But sadly, the word of Eli was, lie down, lie down. And so often that's what the world, that's what those who are not close to the Lord, they may be believers, might say to us, lie down, leave it. It may not be right what you're hearing. Wait, hesitate. But the Lord was serious. He wanted Samuel to live for him. And it's wonderful again to see what we so often see in Scripture and what so often we don't show to one another. There's a patience with the Lord. He works with us. He doesn't challenge us once and then when we don't respond, just put us to one side. He works with us. And three times Samuel hears these words. Eventually Eli did realize it must be Jehovah. It must be the Lord that's responding to him. And so he says in verse 9, go lie down and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. You see, Eli is a sad case. He knew just what should be said. Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. But he wasn't in a condition where he could do that himself. Samuel was. Even though Samuel didn't use completely the right words, he didn't use the word Lord. I suppose that was partly because he didn't really know the Lord. But he did express a desire to hear what the Lord would say to him, and he did want to put it into practice. So he says, speak, for thy servant heareth. And we didn't read it, but we heard the words, but we can read later, but we can read in private what the Lord later says to Samuel. Notice they weren't very happy thoughts that the Lord passed on to Samuel. We might say that's too much for a young person to bear. But you see, the things of the Lord are serious, and sometimes we have to hear sad things as well as glad things. And Samuel had to hear those things, and he had to go through a situation where things temporarily became even worse. When the priest lost his life, when the priest's sons lost their lives in the battle, when the ark was lost to the Philistines, all those things Samuel had to go through. But it was all formative for Samuel to be used by the Lord later on in his life. And it's a wonderful thing to read about how the Lord actually took up Samuel for his glory and for the blessing of his people. We read about how he was moved, how he was used by God for the blessing of his people. Verse 19 of chapter 3 says, Samuel grew. He grew. We've been speaking about spiritual growth this afternoon. Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. We've been thinking about how we should not be ashamed of the doctrine, particularly the doctrine relating to the assembly, that which is so precious to the heart of Christ. Well, can we not see an example of Samuel here? He let none of his words, none of his words, fall to the ground. We can be so careful about the things of this world and so careless with the things of God. But in the case of Samuel, it says, he let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. We know that later on in Samuel's life he was able to gather the people together. And this was the preparation, wasn't it, for the bringing in of David. David, who speaks to us of the Lord Jesus himself. Samuel was a wonderful bridge, if you like, from the sad days of the judges to the days of David and then Solomon. Pictures themselves of the Lord Jesus himself. Now, I just wanted to leave that as a word of encouragement to us. Young ones especially, but all of us as well. That if we are faithful, if we do respond, as we believe Timothy did, to these words that we've read from 2 Timothy chapter 1, the Lord will give us a measure of blessing, even in these days of difficulty. Ere he comes, he shall find those who are answering to the truth of his word. He will find faith. He will find those who are seeking to be true to him and his word. May it be that we are among those believers on the Lord Jesus Christ. I would have loved to have spoken perhaps about a young man who ran like Ahimaaz. Sadly, he didn't always take note of what he was told, and he had to stand still. But passing over the young men to the fathers, it's wonderful just to see that the Apostle Paul can say at the close of 2 Timothy that he had finished the course. He had, if you like, run the race, having fought the good fight, having kept the faith. And it's wonderful to see in him one who then is prepared to counsel Timothy. He's one who's prepared to share out with Timothy all that Timothy needs to continue in the service of the Lord. And we need that too among those of us who are more mature in the faith, let's say, who've gone on, who've experienced the blessing of the Lord in our lives, and whom the Lord has developed so that we might perhaps be called fathers. Even at that very point where he was being poured out, where he knew his end was about to come, his thoughts were not for himself, but his thoughts were for those who would continue on in the service of the Lord, because that would bring glory to the Lord. May we be marked by these wonderful attributes that we see both in Samuel and Timothy, but also in the Apostle Paul himself, but most wonderfully, of course, in the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the perfect example, as we've had set before us from John chapter 13.